This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I just refreshed X and it's working for me. Is the cyber attack been defeated?
Oh, I think you speak too soon. Let me see.
Well, you just assume? She's probably wrong.
Because I had that happen a couple times today, and then I went back and it was not. It looked like it was coming back, and then it didn't.
Now, we know not everybody who listens is on X, formerly Twitter, but X has been dealing with a pretty significant cyber attack today. And I'll read to you here from the Fox News report. It's a Fox Business report from a little bit earlier. Tech billionaire Elon Musk said the social media platform he owns is facing a massive cyber attack. I think it's funny that this is how Fox Business writes this article. I'm just reading it to you. Tech billionaire Elon Musk said the social media platform he owns is facing a, quote, massive cyber attack. Quote, there was a massive cyber attack against X. And then it says, Musk, who is heading the Trump administration's Doge, wrote on X. Yeah, we just learned that.
Ah.
It's like one of those articles where, like, this is happening. This is breaking news. We'll report more. But those are the first two paragraphs.
Let me walk you through a labyrinth that ends at its beginning.
Now they need to write it, but like how Yoda would say it, so it's different. he goes on to say, we get attacked every day, but this was done with a lot of resources. Either a large coordinated group and/or a country is involved. So it does. See, the outages come as another Musk company, Tesla, is facing takedown protests at facilities across the country. Musk has claimed the left-wing billionaire George Soros, billionaire Democratic mega donor, and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman and others are bankrolling the demonstrations. You know, we know that there are massive funders behind a lot of these protests. And when you're talking about people who are causing destruction, engaging in violence, you know, over the course of the last 5-6 years or so, maybe even more than that, that there are people who are consistently funding this type of protest. It's funny to me that people are like talking about how there have been request for people to post photos of celebrities with J.D. Vance's face on them. They're like, get to the bottom of this. Isn't that funny? Like,
it's funny because of the nature of news now. That and the same on the same screen, literally, you could have like something that's really deep about, oh my gosh, can you believe they were funding Hamas terrorists through NGOs? And you're like, oh my gosh, it's incredible. And then right below it, oh my gosh, that is the most incredible trick by a cat I've ever seen. You know, I mean, that's the nature of the news cycle.
When you're in Chicago for the Lutheran State basketball tournament, 16-team tournament, a very well done event for boys and for girls. It's a really fun thing to participate in. I played in it when I was in grade school, 1998, fourth place finish, lost my two Arlington Heights. Ooh. Gosh, in their own gym. When you're in Chicago and you are dealing with just trying to make sure that you return children that are in your care to their parents in at least as good a shape as you got them at the end of the weekend, you're super mentally laser focused the whole time. Had a great time. Love it. Not a lot of time to dip into the news. I try not to have Fox News on in the hotel rooms while they're there because they don't want to see that stuff. And I don't want to talk to them about that. I don't want them to ask me questions about it. I keep just peeking over at social media and it's all J.D. Vance memes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what's happening? It's funny. It's amusing to me, but what is this? And then I'm looking at people and I'm like, is that J.D. Vance or is that Leonardo DiCaprio? I can't even tell.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're really good. Are people just saying to Grok, like, make me a meme of J.D. Vance's face on Marcus Aurelius? What are they doing?
I don't know, because the angle that you'd have to find J.D. Vance's face to fit some of those memes, it seems like it would not be able to do it so well, but it's instant. I mean, if that's what's going
on. J.D. Vance is all of us. Why are they doing it? What's the genesis of it?
It started after the joint address to Congress.
Was it the one where he's standing behind President Trump and he's just got that huge,
they did the big
rock
huge
star
head with
hair?
The, yeah.
That one was really funny because it just looked natural. Like, oh, that's what J.D. Vance would look like if he had Robert Plant hair. But then after that, it was like it took on a life of its own and it went into all these different memes.
I really hope I don't run into a paywall on this, but I am laughing so hard at the Atlantic's article. Wait, who is posting those unflattering J.D. Vance memes? And then it says the online right is trolling one of its own. Is it impossible to get this? This is not trolling of J.D. Vance. It's not unflattering to J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is everywhere right now, and the Atlantic is like, the right has turned on Vice President J.D. Vance.
Yeah,
no!
They're cannibalizing their own.
No! At the Atlantic, I'll just read from the article here. Let me give credit to this amazing author, Allie.
Why just is one name? Why like is Madonna?
No, I hadn't gotten to the end, but you thought that was great.
Say it right.
Brelin. Oh. Maybe it's Ali. A-L-I. J.D. Vance doesn't look like himself. In recent days, memes have spread across social media in which the vice president's face has been photoshopped to give him cartoonishly chubby cheeks.
Sometimes. Not all of them.
He looks like a bearded baby or Humpty Dumpty. Sometimes he's holding a lollipop and wearing a child's baseball cap with the propeller affixed to the top. One meme takes his edited baby face and adds luscious curly locks. Is that the one you're talking about?
Maybe.
While another changes his skin tone to a gentle purple hue, making him look like a Willy Wonka-inspired human blueberry.
I haven't seen that one.
In every image, you want to.
Yeah.
Vance has been reanimated as an utter doofus. This person's got it bad.
No kidding.
I can't go much farther because the paywall is here. The memes first appeared in October when a user on X posted an image of Vance captioned, for every 100 likes, I will turn J.D. Vance into a progressively apple-cheeked baby. It's like, even their explanation of the meme world, when they're trying to explain it to you, like you're too stupid to understand themselves, and you're like, joke's on you, you clearly don't get it. But babyface Vance has gone fully viral since last week when the vice president clashed with Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky in the Oval Office. Many of the photos, the most popular of which have received tens of thousands of likes on platforms such as X and Instagram, include captions that imagine Vance talking like a small child who cannot yelp yet properly at pronounce his words. Since funny that I screwed that up. Quote, you have to say please and thank you, Mr. Zinsky. The memes are so good that The Atlantic is writing articles explaining them to people for the people who read The Atlantic and wouldn't understand them.
Yeah, they still sound like they're on the outside of this thing.
Every time J.D. Vance sees a new one, and you know everybody in his personal life is sending him these memes.
He's got to love them.
He's got to think it's the funniest thing ever.
It's just free, goofy publicity. If anything, it's positive for
him. It's humanizing.
Yeah.
Yes, and when he laughs at the joke, And he's going to laugh at the joke. That's the thing. Like, if you did this to Kamala Harris, there would be no laughing at the joke.
No, there would be. It would be her team sat down and advised her, we think the best way for you to go about this would be to laugh at this
like
joke.
That.
And then she'd go, oh, okay. And then she'd go out and go, you know those memes about me that everybody's seeing right now? Well, I am laughing at them.
Yeah. That's all we got, folks. That's
and
the
then
campaign.
Yeah. She'd wrap it up. Just go back home.
You could have a lot of fun with Vice President Tim Walz with these memes, too,
oh,
though.
Oh, man.
And that would I mean, the end result would be benefiting the same people.
Yeah. JD Vance really does have a memeable face, though.
It's not his face. It's his facial expressions. His face says a lot. And, you know, ever since the vice presidential debate where he looked into the camera, which actually he has said in interviews, the time clock was right above there and he was getting prepared to make his remarks. So he, you know, you don't know when you're actually on the camera that is being broadcast out to people. So he wasn't trying to deliver a viral moment, but he certainly did. His look over that is everywhere where he's kind of got the eyebrow raised and he looks like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? He was checking the time clock to see how long Kamala had left to talk. But ever since
Tim
then,
Walz.
Yes, yeah, Tim Walz had left to speak. Gosh, that he did so bad in that. Not that we need to relitigate the vice presidential debate from the last campaign, but that was so bad.
And yet, it was a high watermark for him. Because,
Walz?
Yeah, because while he did poorly, everybody was still like, oh, okay, we didn't know you had that in you. Good job.
That reminds me, I'll tell a story real quick before we go to break. We'll talk more about Chicago when we come back. So we went into this tournament with our eyes wide open. The basketball, I didn't ask me anything on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page and got, I don't know, we had like 130 comments on there. And so like the first thing was, are you guys going to win? And it was like, so here's the deal. We had like four, I think at the high point we had 14 people on our basketball team. We went up with 7 and we were missing, for various reasons, our second, third, and fourth top scorers. And we decided we were still going to go up there. The team still earned it. We were going to compete. We were going to do the best we could. We were going to have a great time. And we nailed it. We had the best time ever. So we went into this knowing that from a basketball standpoint, this wasn't going to be what you write home about. But we wanted to make the weekend one you'd write home about. So we have a girl on our team. She's got it. She might be 4'10". She might be shorter than that. I don't know how tall she is. She's an eighth grader. Played basketball this year for the first time. She wanted to continue coming to sports after volleyball got over. She wanted to play. She's like, they decided to come. And we were like, yeah, do it. Let's have fun. She's so tiny. But her personality reaches every inch of her being. And she was like, I want to jump. Now, mind you, we were the 16 seed playing the 1 seed in the tournament. We knew how this was going to go. And we're in the locker room. She's like, can I jump? Can I jump? Can I do it? Can I do it? And my husband's the head coach. He looks at me. He's like, you want to jump? And she's like, yes. And he goes, okay. So she jumped against a girl who might have been 6'2".
That's awesome.
I'll show you guys the video. I don't have permission to share it here, but I'll show you guys the video. But so she's super tiny. And she was like, beforehand, she's like, Annie, you've got to get it on video. You got to make sure you get it. Well, we get done with the announcements, the calling of the roster or whatever, the national anthem, the prayer, and everybody's getting ready to go out, get set up for the jump. And they're walking out, and she runs back. She's like, Annie, are you getting it? Are you rolling? And I'm like, yes, yes. So I get my camera up. And this official who comes to do the jump ball walks, like, he just, you know, you just go through the motions, you walk up, and he sees her, and he stops, and he looks at her. And, I mean, the girl that Ayla was jumping against was like, like, you don't want to be rude or whatever. Like, are you serious? But they were all very confused. We were kind of trying to set the tone. And she begged to do it. It was her idea. And the official, who probably was 6'3", tall, slender guy, bends over and looks at her and goes, well, hello there. Which is the funniest part of the whole thing. And she jumped as high as she could. She didn't get the ball.
Oh, I thought, man, that would have ended the story. That would have been.
She jumped 4 feet in the air. No. I mean, honestly, our basketball plan was we didn't have anyone who was going to beat her jump. Our basketball plan was let's just try to figure out where they're going to tip the ball and try to go get it. And you could win the tip and lose the possession. That was the plan, but that was kind of the basketball sense going in. And then we went downtown and we went to Navy Pier. We ate at Reunion, which is an amazing restaurant by Chef Art Smith at Navy Pier. I was so glad we did that. And we just got to take in the city. So let's talk about that a little bit when we come back. Because being in Chicago, when you're from Illinois and you live in Illinois and you go to Chicago, there's kind of a weird identity crisis that you have. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you're from Chicago and you've now moved down south. Maybe you're listening to us in Chicago. Let's talk about it when we come back, because it's one of the leading frustrations that people have as Illinois residents politically is this very complicated relationship we have with this beautiful city to our northeast. We'll be right back.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When was the last time that you went downtown Chicago, Ryan?
It was a little over a year and a half ago.
What did you go for? Sports?
A wedding.
Downtown?
Well, the wedding wasn't right downtown. It was close, but we had to drive through downtown. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was pretty close to downtown. So yeah, we were there.
What about you, Brad?
I have never been to downtown.
Really?
Yeah. The closest I've ever come was, I guess, is it the United Center where the Bulls play? I was working security and I had to deliver some.
You were horse, working security for MJ?
No. It was horse racing from Fairmont Park.
I have a lot of questions.
And they do samples of these horses for steroid testing, and I had to deliver those up there as a security guard. So that was right
samples.
Down. Blood and urine.
And nut stool.
You used to deliver.
Yeah, I was in a toolbox that was all like sealed up with dry ice on the inside.
When were you doing this?
Does that need security? And how has this never come up?
Why
does
that
need
know?
Security?
Why does the poop and the blood need security?
It's not poop.
Pee.
because people don't want their cheater, like, there's like mafia stuff involved in that.
I know.
What? Why is this happening?
What were you? I don't care about that. What were you? What?
What?
You did what? You worked for who?
I was a security guard. And so they're like, all right, you go down to Fairmount Park at this time, you pick up those samples, and you take it up to.
How long did you do this job?
I think I made about 6 trips up there. I mean, there was one of the jobs within it, so I think I did for like 2 years. But I think
2 years of your life, we've never heard about this.
Brad's in the CIA.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, Fred's in the FBI, so
this is all an op.
But yeah, so that's
oh no, not but yeah.
So yeah, so you went up to the where the Bulls play.
No. I didn't deliver it there. Okay. It was in that same neighborhood. There was like a little Illinois Racing Board.
He was telling us off the air that same basketball situation happened to him.
This is true.
That he had a jump. I think it was for the Bulls.
I do too. Or it was for a different team playing the Bulls.
It was the 2000 Bulls. Nobody remembers him.
Dikembe Mutombo is huge.
Is he? Well, yeah, compared to you.
Massive.
And compared to anybody.
Dramatically larger than I am.
He worked security for horse semen.
No, I've never said that. Blood and urine.
Ah, my mistake again.
It's anti-doping, where the trainers doping their horses to make them fast to win at Fairmount
Park. We just found out about a new job that Brad has never ever mentioned before in the history of his time on this show, and it had the word mafia in the explanation.
Mafia and playing against Michael Jordan that we inferred. And you had to drive the
he's like,
specimens.
I've never been to downtown Chicago ever. I wasn't there, I promise.
Yeah. But let me tell you about the time that I was and why.
Was the United Center close to downtown? Because it was like midnight every time I was
there. You're asking people not from Chicago.
Of course it was the dead of night.
Wait. So you showed up with these blood and urine specimens from horses at Fairmount Park.
Yes.
After midnight in downtown Chicago?
Yeah, I left. Yeah, what time? I'd leave here around 7.
Sounds like some crap you'd make up, Ryan.
Is it like... does it have to be tested within a certain period of time? Like, the urine's going to get cold. Go, go, go.
Yeah, he has to deliver it warm.
It like, why'd you have to go right then?
Because that's the law. So the horses win on Saturday, and then you've got to take it up there before the end of the weekend so that the testers at the Illinois Racing Board can have those in starting Monday.
He definitely knows a lot about it. I believe him.
I believe him, too, but... this is the kind of thing that Brad could research and make up. I'm not saying he is.
Or I don't think he did.
He would. No, this but he
is,
could.
This is the type of stuff that you'd make up, but you wouldn't research.
It's about two truths and a lie.
He's got a poker face for that game.
He's never been to downtown Chicago. That's surprising.
Yeah. I went there and I saw a Chicago White Sox game, but that's not in downtown either. So.
He's technically right.
I don't know the lay of the land. I've been to Wrigley.
What's the name of the park? Kaminsky?
Not anymore.
It used to be.
Comcast?
No. I. You know what? I asked one of the other hosts here this the other day, and he told me, and I've forgotten since. And I always called it U.S. Cellular, but it's
we
not that
went
anymore.
Downtown to the... We first went to Navy Pier, because I'd never been to Navy Pier before. Obviously, Brad hasn't been to Navy Pier.
Mm-mm.
Have you, Ryan?
It's been a long time, but I have. My wife's from Chicago, so...
I didn't realize that it was an indoor mall. A nice indoor mall.
I don't know that I could have told you that.
I had no idea. I thought that when you went to Navy Pier, that there was like a Ferris wheel type of a thing, and then it was just outdoors, Lake Michigan,
flea market,
seagulls,
kinda.
Maybe some hot dog carts and stuff like that. No. Parking was $41.
Oh my God.
I believe that.
And this is the number one thing that I left Chicago not realizing. They have fees on and taxes on everything listed as fees and taxes. So if parking is, it'll say parking is $35, but separately there will be $6 of fees and taxes. So parking is $41. Just say parking is, just charge $41 for parking and then take care of your business afterwards. When you rode the Ferris wheel, it was $18, but I think there was like a $2 or $3 taxes and fees. On everything where you would go, there were certain kinds of taxes and fees. And I know that this isn't this may sound silly for Chicago people to hear non-Chicago people talking about that, but that's not like, that's not what, everything is expensive to begin with. And then on top of that, there are taxes and fees everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, aren't you people tired of all the taxes and fees? Like, that to me would be a political play to get people to lower taxes and fees. But if you go into Chicago, the pricing is outrageous for everything. Everything was super expensive. Being with these girls and watching them, you know, even if you're going to McDonald's and you're paying $12 for a value meal for a middle school girl, that should be $5 or $6. You should be able to eat at McDonald's for $5 or $6, but that's not the world we live in anymore. Everything was super expensive, but I was also taken aback by how beautiful the city is. And I've been there before, and I usually have that experience. Just like, wow, the city is magnificent. But it's very bothersome how beautiful it is and how much it has to offer and to know what is being done to the city.
Right there is very beautiful.
Yeah.
If you drive that strip, Lakeshore Drive, and it's a nice day.
Yeah, we did. And it was Saturday morning up there, and it was crystal clear.
Did you say it was snowy?
That was Friday.
Okay.
We were intending to, we played at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, which was a bum, because how do you get off? Like, we had like six, seven people in our stands, like the smallest crowd ever. But it's 10:30 on a Friday morning. That's a big ask for people. So mm-hmm. we went up, we basically threw everybody in as few cars as we possibly could. Some other parents drove up, left home at like 3:30, 4 in the morning to get there on time. It was such a tiny group, but we were going to go Friday, and then it was snowy and 34 degrees and bleh, and then the next day was going to be beautiful. So we punted to Saturday, and it was just,
it's amazing.
So pretty.
And you can see why the skyscrapers and the real estate, it's so expensive right there, because you naturally would want to be right there because it's just so nice. But that's the reason.
Yeah. And it's unaffordable for normal people to, you know, if you're going to Navy Pier for the first time and you're taking in that experience, which we were, you just kind of do it. But it's so expensive that I don't think that the average middle class person could afford to go down there and pay those types of prices with regularity. Why are we so quick to... is it hopeless? That's really what it comes down to, because I don't want to believe that it's hopeless. I want Chicago to be the best Midwestern city in the country. I want it to be the best place to do business. Look at what Nashville is doing. Mm. I'm so envious of Nashville. Now, Nashville has its own thing. You know, the music scene, the entertainment scene, that makes sense. But Chicago could be like that if they wanted to be like that. Chicago could do that. The rest of the state is red. Cook County is not. If a Republican wins, I think it's like 22% of Cook County, they'll win the election.
Wow. That's not that far away.
So when you think about what would need to be done in Chicago, it would have to be a miracle. But look at what Donald Trump is doing at the federal level. If you see the type of transformation that he is bringing to the federal government with things that I think a lot of people, you know, maybe my parents' generation, who've been watching government expand and bloat for so long, if not their entire lives, it's just kind of jaw-dropping to watch the willingness of Donald Trump to come in like the wrecking ball that we need to say, we're redoing this whole thing. We're going to break it down. It's going to be a mess, and we're going to rebuild it into something that is better than it's ever been. And, you know, I say this as we watch the markets suffer under some of the things that Donald Trump's, you know, his economic plans, which he said openly, you know, there's going to be some short-term pains. But he said, was it on Air Force One? He's like, we're gonna be so rich.
Yeah.
We're going to be so wealthy when we see this through. He has to do this stuff immediately so that there is enough time for the benefits to set in. And I hope that we would see them quicker than anything. But if it can happen at the federal government, if a man like Donald Trump, okay, Annie, yeah, I get it, but how are you going to get a Donald Trump into the state of Illinois to do that? I don't know. But who saw Donald Trump coming? I think we have a special moment in time for blue areas. It doesn't even have to be states. I mean, look at the city of St. Louis. It's really the same sort of gross mismanagement. that takes place where you feel like you have an unlimited amount of funds from the taxpayers, and you feel this is the mood I get from these Democrats like Mayor Brandon Johnson, you know, the people who run the city of St. Louis. I certainly feel the same way there. But they just think if the taxpayer dollar exists, there's always another one to take. And they're willing to there's no shame in taking the money from the taxpayers. They believe they're entitled to it. They believe they deserve it. And if there is anything that the Donald Trump administration is doing right now, they are completely recalibrating the system as to who deserves the taxpayer dollar. That's what America First is. Mm-hmm. That's what Make America Great Again is based on. The idea that you control what happens in this country as a member of We the People, not We the Government. Putting government back in its place, saying it's too big, it's too bloated. It's got to be cut. And I understand that there are going to be people shrieking and hollering about, you know, having to endure some of these cuts. I get that. But the you can lose a lot of the fat that is there before real people are even starting to feel the type of cuts that will hit us on a really granular home base type of level. And I just think that now is the time when I'm in the city of Chicago, I want that to be my city. I want to live in Illinois and come to work in St. Louis and be in a position to be like, look what Chicago is doing, St. Louis. Get your act together. I want to live in Illinois and look at St. Louis, Missouri, and take East St. Louis, Illinois, and build it up and make it beautiful so that St. Louis, Missouri, the west side of the river is the side that needs the work. That the east side of the river is the place of opportunity where people want to come and people want to build and people want to invest and grow and create. And you can do that on the east side of the river with the right mentality. And guess what? Folks in the west side, St. Louis, Missouri, if Illinois got their act together on the east side, the west side would have to do the same thing. The west side would have to think about providing safety and security for patrons, for customers, for businesses, for business owners, for people who want to live in one of these many open apartment buildings that you could, you know, enjoy the arts, the food, the experience, the entertainment, the walkability, the sustainability of being able to be right next to your work in a big city. We have the opportunity to do that here in St. Louis, and Democrats are ruining it top to bottom. And I feel like, you know, it seems like St. Louis City is hopeless. It may feel to some people like, you know, the east side of the river, that it's hopeless, that Chicago is hopeless. But I really feel like we are not too far removed from looking at the federal government thinking that is hopeless. And it really looks like the American people chose to put Donald Trump in the Oval Office because they saw a glimmer of hope from what Donald Trump said he wanted to do. And what he said he wanted to do was transformative. It's not like, let's do Republican things. Okay, we'll try that this time again. That's not what it is. It was actually offensive to some Republicans who were like, I don't know, the bureaucracy functions best for us under this way of doing government. Donald Trump wanted to take a wrecking ball to the swamp, a wrecking ball to the status quo, the way we do things. You know, this is not how things go in Washington, D.C. He said, they're not going to go that way anymore because there's a new sheriff in town. It seems hopeless and seems like a pipe dream, but how much greater would the state of Illinois be if Chicago, 22%, if 22% of Chicago believed in who we ran as Republicans for governor? If a mayor would come into that city and give some sort of sense of security, safety, economic growth that would benefit the whole city, that would offer some of the principles that people have, you know, decided to step over at least one foot over into the right side of the aisle to say, okay, let's give this a try. What if that happened? And I say what if in a time where I feel like it's the biggest possibility that maybe something like that could happen here. Illinois is going to go into 2026 as a statewide election year. We're going to elect a governor in 2026. J.B. Pritzker is completing a second term. We do not have term limits. J.B. Pritzker is going to be sticking his finger into the wind because he wants to be president of the United States. And I have no confidence that he's going to say, I'm not going to run for governor because I want to run for president. I think he could try to win the governorship back for his third term in his sleep. He has that much money. But if you look at what he has to show for it, I don't think that the Illinois Policy Institute just came out. Illinois has the highest tax burden in the country. Taxpayers and voters understand that. Chicago is unsafe. It's expensive. But the whole state is still worth it. It's still my home. And I know that there's still a lot of people in Illinois who want to see it made great. And I just think, goodness gracious, if Donald Trump can be successful in the next 12 months, it could have great, great, great benefit for the people of Illinois, for the people of the city of St. Louis, for New Jersey, for California. I mean, those California state or those California congressional seats are a great opportunity for Republicans to gain a majority. There are so many of them, and California is pretty sick and tired of the way California is being run, and Illinois is no different. You need to go to Chicago, Brad. Without the mafia.
I'm planning on going in June.
Oh, there you go.
And without the horse blood.
I mean, that's his business.
Might take some. I don't know. Just for old time's sake.
Did you actually have to extract it?
No, I just picked it up and delivered it.
Man, that would have taken this story to a whole different level. Why is Brad chasing the horses again? Don't worry about it.
Why has he got a knife?
Don't ask questions.
And what's he doing underneath that horse? Oh, that's the pee part.
Quick break. When we come back, let's discuss and report on the YouTube live chat poll. Should the GOP legislators back Trump's request for a continuing resolution to fund government through September? You going to support Trump's CR if Trump wants it? We haven't been supporting CRs. We haven't been very kind to that in the past. Does the tone change when Donald Trump says, I need a little bit more time? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. I can go a little while longer. On it that way, but we... You see the sphere in Vegas? Is that the thing? Is that what it's called, the sphere?
Oh, the sphere in Vegas. Yes. I thought you said the fear in Vegas.
What are they afraid of?
Well.
Yeah, fear and loathing in Las Vegas.
Have you seen it? Have you been there?
I've never been to Vegas.
Do you know anyone okay, I haven't either. Do you know anyone who's been to the sphere?
My friend goes to Vegas a lot. He hasn't specifically mentioned it.
I've heard it's wild and very cool.
Yeah, I have too.
There are two things taking place at the sphere that I'm interested in, and one of them is Backstreet Boys.
Wait, it's a concert at the Sphere?
Yeah.
In it? Or
they do tons of those.
Is it a concert venue inside
mm-hmm.
it? Okay, I didn't even
but
know what it was.
Like, it's like going to the, is it the Omnimax type of a thing, but like on a whole different scale.
That's got to be great.
It's the same on the inside as it is on the outside as far as
and
screens.
When you go and like people create an event specifically
for that
because the venue is so unique. I if the Backstreet Boys came to St. Louis, I would not go see them.
What if it was in a sphere here?
The Omnimax.
You want me to build a sphere so we could like do all the extra Vegas shows?
If it's small enough that I can hang out with the Backstreet Boys and like talk to them, I would love to do that. I would love to talk to them.
Yeah, it wouldn't be huge. It'd be probably the size of like my house.
This room. The other one is John Mayer. I'm a huge John Mayer fan, but he's playing with Grateful Dead, and I don't know if I want to be in the sphere with the dead heads. It's so weird. John Mayer as an individual artist and his Deadhead following, like those people love him. For the most part, they love him.
Huh.
Because he's been able to continue something for them that wouldn't be able to continue. I mean, if you're going to continue, it has to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently is...
He's the next generation?
I mean, he's been touring with them for years and years and years.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes.
The thing about the Deadhead tour, it always seemed interesting to me. I mean, I would never be a part of that, but it always seemed interesting to be a part of that community because I'm like, how do they live? What's that life like?
It's just not ours.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're definitely observing something.
Yeah, and I've always been fascinated by subculture stuff like that. I actually I like to dip my toe and see what it's like and then dip back out because it's not mine.
I think the Deadheads would probably feel the same thing about the Backstreet Boys fans.
Or conservative talk radio.
Because the Backstreet Boys fans at the Sphere, like that is going to be filled with 40-year-old women. And their reluctant daughters that they may have dragged along. But mostly, girl trip! I reached out to one of my lifelong best friends, and I just sent her the screenshot of that with the like two eyeballs that are looking to the side. And she told me she already has her tickets. She's already going. And she's, I think she's going with her sister or something.
Does it seat a lot of people or is it kind of...
it's huge. You need to get on YouTube and find some... Not right now. We have to finish the show. But after the show. I'm kind of thinking about going for it, but it's not a... there's no way Jared's going with me with that.
Yeah.
And you got to... If you're going to go watch the Backstreet Boys, and listen, I'm 40. That's my youth right there. Everybody has that kind of throwback, whatever, boy bands and everything. I would not travel to see NSYNC, not interested at all. Backstreet Boys, A1, top notch, would go to Vegas to see them. They're selling packages that make it like super simple, which of course they do these things. Airfare, hotel, travel to, travel from.
Here's what's weird. I was just thinking about NSYNC and Backstreet Boys this morning.
Nobody says NSYNC.
In. Okay.
Because they're NSYNC.
Well, I don't care.
That's fair. Exactly. Not a lot of Ryan Wiggins is in the sphere at the Backstreet Boys concert.
I was just thinking about them this morning for I don't know what reason. But I was thinking, man, Backstreet Boys, they're out there. They're doing tours. They're doing shows. NSYNC is not.
They can't.
Because of Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah.
Because he won't join them.
NSYNC will go tour and do things, but it's without Justin Timberlake.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
But they call themselves NSYNC?
I mean, on various occasions. I know Joey Fatone has done sets at festivals at Epcot at Disney, and he's a huge... And he'll be accompanied by Lance Bass or the other ones. I'm sorry, I don't know their names.
AJ? No, he's a Backstreet Boy.
Yeah.
He's the only one I met.
Stop confusing them. I don't know. I just, the Sphere thing sounds very interesting to me. And those are, if it were just John Mayer and he was doing his John Mayer stuff, I would drop everything and go to that. I just don't think that I need to show up to the Deadhead concert and be like, hi, guys.
I think you
what are you doing?
You might enjoy yourself more than you think.
I don't know in the Sphere. I don't know what kind of rules they have. There.
I wonder if it's still, because you've seen John Mayer, so you know a little bit more
about
this.
I've probably seen him almost 10 times.
Is it still the Deadhead crowd? Is it still the old VW hippie buses and stuff like that, or has it evolved?
I've never been, but I've watched things that he has done, because I wanted to see, like, how does this work?
Yeah.
How does this function? And it's exactly what John Mayer sheds his John Mayer individual thing and fits perfectly into the Deadhead thing. He is theirs. They are not his. He is continuing the legacy of Jerry Garcia, of the Grateful Dead, of the whole thing. And I probably know the lyrics to every single John Mayer song that has ever been put out there. And it's like he's a different person when he's with the Grateful Dead. The last time he was in St. Louis, he was at whatever you call where the blues play at the
Enterprise.
Time. Enterprise. I don't even know if it was Enterprise. Maybe when he was there. And he did one Grateful Dead song that was like 17 minutes.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, can we get the abridged version? We are not those people.
Does he turn into a jam band? Is that how that works?
I guess.
Huh.
I mean, it was really talented. It was what you would refer to as a vibe.
The other random thought I had this morning about NSYNC was that...
NSYNC, not that NSYNC.
Bye.
It's NSYNC as in I-N, but you're saying it like it's just the letter.
Yeah, N.
NSYNC.
NSYNC.
No.
That's the way it's spelled. I'm sorry.
He says NSYNC.
I'd rather him say that.
I'm sorry, but Bye 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 is not their best song. It's Pop.
Dirty Pop.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good one. Gets overlooked a lot.
Probably not.
Especially when he stops and he goes, I'm tired of singing. And then they just dance.
Sick and tired of hearing all... Okay, should GOP legislators back Trump's request for a continuing resolution? Ryan.
No. No. I'm with Thomas Massie. I'd be among the extreme minority.
Why?
Because I think there needs to be... Like, do the CR, but do a shorter one like they were saying Susan Collins would do. If you need
Ryan
a little more
Schmelz
time...
Ryan Schmelz was reporting at 125 with us that they suggested a month-long one.
Yeah.
As opposed to September.
I might be on board with that, not through September.
Brad?
I'm going to say yes. I think that they should. I think that you are doing some very incredible things here, and then a government shutdown would not be good if it fell upon the Republicans' heads. So I think that you got to take the short win here and regroup and come back to get another swipe at the apple.
I think that Ryan Schmelz, when he was talking about that, I think that's a really smart thing to say, we'll do it, but we'll do a shorter version of it. And that might very well be how this gets the votes, because normally you would punt it to September. I don't know if you can do it in the middle of the summer. I would assume that there are times where the congressmen and women are not there. And so if you do it, you have to do it around when they're in session, or you make them come back and be in session. That makes things complicated. Trump says, let's do the CR through September and give us the right amount of time to do it right. We asked you that question, and 84% of you say yes, that the GOP legislators should back Trump's request, which actually surprises me. I thought it'd be a little bit closer, but 84% of you say if that's what Trump wants, that's what Trump should get. I don't disagree with it, but I would like a modified version of it, like Ryan said as well. We will continue to follow it. They should be voting on it by tomorrow sometime. The Mark Reardon Show takes over from here.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.